This recording, North Carolina 18, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah was a nurse who had been working in a deserted district of the territory for a long time, so she was very happy to start a new job in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain white dress and a fur yellow fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah a letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel really sorry for the bird. Soon that goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mayor Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her. But Sarah managed by gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing to her. Her efforts were not futile. Very soon, the goose began to tire, and Sarah gave her a relaxing bath. Then she laid Comma on a cloth for diagnosis. Almost immediately, Sarah remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. I can't remember the name of the medicine. It came from a fancy jar and was very expensive, but Ms. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. My father's family settled in rural Middle Georgia, soon after the Revolutionary War. Daddy was born there in 1889, went to high school later in Macon, Georgia, graduated from Mercer University, went west and worked on the Denver Post, and came back, fought in World War I in France, and then came back and settled where he had started out in rural Middle Georgia. My mother grew up probably about 60 miles from there in Edenton, Georgia, which was a lovely southern town. She was born in a house that was built in the early 1800s, Greek Revival, with white columns. Went to school in Edenton and then went to college in Milledgeville, Georgia. When Daddy got home from the war, he went over to Milledgeville to see his baby sister, and just happened to meet Mother, who was her roommate. He went home and said to his father, "I have met the woman I'm going to marry," but it was not to be that easy. Mother was invited to stay on after she graduated. She had majored in home economics, and she was invited to stay on as a teacher. And somehow she ended up in Atlanta, Georgia, with an office in the Capitol building as an executive with the Georgia Department of Education, which was most unusual in the 1920s for a lady to have that kind of a job. But anyway, finally, after 8 years, Daddy won and moved her to rural Middle Georgia into his grandparents' home. 8 years later, I was born. At that time, Mother was 37 and Daddy was 47. I lived there surrounded by maiden aunts and great aunts. And then when I was 5 years old, Mother taught me the first grade. I had a February birthday. So then when I was 6 years old, I entered public school at the Twiggs Wilkinson Consolidated School. This brought all the children from a two-county area on 5 school buses to school every day. Most of these children came off farms. Their parents were either tenant farmers or sharecroppers. And the first and second grades were huge. They had one section with about probably 30 or 35 children.